Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. And let's get this next week started the right way with a virtual trip down to Walt Disney World from just a couple of weeks back. Talk about fresh off the presses. That's what we've got for you today. We're headed down to South Carolina with listener Gino, and he talks about his amazing stay at Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge, Kidani Village, in a two-bedroom Savannah View Villa. How does that sound today? Look at all the giraffe and the wildebeest right outside your window. We talk about their trip down, times in all the theme parks and great meals, Chefs de France, Wine Bar George, Brown Derby, tour in the parks, how the pool situation was while they were there, the weather. We talk about it all. It's a fun trip to get you excited for your next Disney vacation. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out. They have awesome free services for you to make your next Disney getaway awesome. They're over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. It really does help support the show. Costs you nothing extra except one click. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, a huge thank you to our patrons. You're allowing us to put out four shows a week here on the feed, plus you, me, and Scotty G every Sunday night. And our patrons get one additional show just for them on Thursdays called Mike in the Midwest. So if you'd like to check out all the information on that, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1894 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, for BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. I hope you are doing well and things are going great for you to start another work week. That's what we do. You know, going to work, it is a blessing. We got to realize that. It's not a bad thing. And I hope that when you go to work every day, you know, you can find some small victories in everything that you do. Maybe you help somebody out. Maybe it's just putting the food on the table for the family. That is great as well. But we are here to make this Monday a little bit better with a virtual trip down to Walt Disney World. That's what we've been doing for 13 years, and we're going to do it again today. So joining us today from South Carolina, your friend of mine, we have Gino. Gino, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Mike. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad to have you and excited to talk Disney. Now, I kind of mentioned, you know, going to work on Mondays and, you know, getting out the door. Sometimes it's hard, especially if you have a great weekend. Maybe you got to spend time with friends and family and do your hobby or what have you. Maybe if you had to cut the grass all weekend, not so fun. You're ready to go back to work and sit in your chair. But, you know, I try to be an optimist and, you know, it's always a good thing to have something to go to and to get right down to work.
I totally agree. My wife and I kind of try to do that with our whole year. We've already got our plan for little goals that we have. We go to one of the beaches here in South Carolina every year in the summer. So that's going to be a July trip to Fripp. And then we're going to celebrate one of her birthdays in Jamaica in November. And our fingers are crossed for a cruise, a Disney cruise at Christmas. So kind of try to plan those things out just like this most recent trip, to kind of celebrate the tough year that we've had, that we've all had. And it gave us all something to shoot for, and it makes it special in it. And it still is a little bit rough to come back to work and yeah, go back to work on Monday. But, you know, it was a great pick me up, and it kind of pushes you along to get ready for the next thing that, you know, that kind of lifts us up.
Absolutely. For it, so. Right. And, you know, you said the best thing. It's even if, with this situation we've been in for about the last 15 months, it's always good to have something on the books to look forward to, even yeah, if, you know, I know I have guests that have cruises booked for this summer. You know, are they going to sail? Who knows? You know, everybody asks me, and I don't know because the CDC doesn't call me and, hey, Mike, what do you think? You know, go, hey, let's sail. But, you know, it's one of those things. It's good to have something to look forward to. And like you said, I think you're going to get to have that Christmas cruise with Disney Cruise Line, I guess. But either way, sitting yeah, here in May, it's nice to know it's out there, right? It's nice to know you have something to look forward to, because eventually you're going to get back out there. That's fun.
Well, it also, too, can be, you know, we've got kind of a year that we've saved up and we're trying to go for it. But it could just be that you're doing, you know, putting the kids in the car and doing a road trip, just 30 to 60 miles down the road. It's this summer, it's getting ready to be maybe drive-in movie time. It's find a place nearby to do a drive-in movie on a Friday night. That's something to look forward to.
You're so right. So, yeah. I mean, to be honest, I live in Missouri and I've never been to Branson or Silver Dollar City. And we're looking at that maybe this summer. I don't know. Matt Parrish talks about it on his show all the time. He lives down there. So going to have to give it a shot. But anyway, let's hop into your Disney trip. But before we do that, before we get into Animal Kingdom Lodge and all this fun stuff, give me your history. Like, what's your background with Disney? Why do you listen to a Disney podcast? What has you kind of how'd you get connected with all the Disney stuff?
Oh, boy. It's you know, what's been interesting to listen to shows like yours. And I listen to quite a few Disney shows. You're one of my favorites. I love the Rope Drop Radio guys, too. And especially some of the crews, the duo, the husband and wife team. I got started really early. I have family in the Tampa St. Pete area. My uncle was at MacDill Air Force Base, and I grew up going down there. So with my parents, we went down there a lot. I actually remember as a really tiny kid, my dad that there was going to be this thing called something to do with Disney. And I kind of remembered it. I was maybe a little under five or so. I just kind of thought of Disney as the Sunday night television show.
Right.
And I grew up with being able to watch that. If there was an issue with going to church, usually I didn't get to because I always went to church. Mm-hmm. But my dad was an engineer at J.P. Stevens. And the first year it opened, we got to go as little kids. And I recently saw those photos. And since then, I've tried to count up. Mike, it's embarrassing that it's... I can count at least, I can realistically say 26 times to Walt Disney World and probably six out in California to Disneyland. I'm very fortunate to be able to have gone there for vacation. When I would go to Florida to visit my family, we would go there. And then I also, I'm in marketing and communications, and I have spoke at conventions at some of the Disney properties quite a few times. And whenever I'm there, I always go to the park. And so I've added up. So all total, probably 30 something times. And for me, it's it hits a button of nostalgia. And being in the creative field, it always stimulates my mind. I was blown away. This was my first time to go into Star Wars at Studios. And just the... how they built it, how they wove in the story, and how it was kind of, it was so immersive that you have to kind of step into that experience just made it really, really special. So what I love about Disney is that nostalgic feeling of a family. I recently lost my dad in January, and this was a really special time to go back because I took him and my mother, my sister and I did in 2019 when they were 84 and 82, and that was a trip. And so I have a lot of emotions tied up in Disney that makes it always special in my heart. But then I also know that when I'm there, I don't know, it always inspires something me.
Right, because I mean, you know, I think a lot of us have a creative side to us. You know, we want to, you know, express ourselves and get our opinions out. You know, it's just like as a podcaster, that's what I, you know, teacher, when you're a teacher, you try to be creative in your lesson development and so forth. And Walt Disney World is so great at taking a common concept, but making it not only approachable, but exciting. And I think I get fired up when I get home too. Like, oh my gosh, you know, I got back, and especially when I go to Epcot really gets me fired up for, it really always got me fired up for teaching for my lessons. Cause I go in the summer and it would kind of renew me for the next school year. Now let me ask you one more thing. Cause I want to hop into this trip report, make sure we get all that in.
Yeah.
You know, it's the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World, and you have a background unlike most others. And I'm starting to ask my guests this. So if Disney called you today and said, you know, as part of the 50th anniversary celebration at Walt Disney World, you can bring back one experience for the 50th. It could be a parade, a promotion, a show, a restaurant. What's something you would bring back that has disappeared in the last 50 years that would be special to you?
I don't know why it just popped into my mind. So it's just from the gut. Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Nice.
Just for, you know, maybe they could do a pop-up Mr. Toad's in the parking lot. I don't know. You know, and do it with go-karts or something. That would be cool, but reinvent it. That, I don't know why that popped into my head. There's some, that's really a great question. There's so many things I think are, you know, right now though, getting to ride the train again would be pretty amazing, because that was one of the things, or the people mover, one of the things that is not open right now that would just be great to be able to do again.
That's a great answer, though. I love it. Yeah, I missed the train. It's so funny because when the train's there, there's been so many trips where I never took the time to ride it. But now that I can't ride it, I miss it.
I know, you miss it.
It's,
yeah.
You know, because really it is kind of the essence of the park, right? It's what got Disneyland started. I mean, it all started basically with Walt and the trains. And yeah, I love my train under the Christmas tree. I have my monorail and my train now. So yeah, I'm the good answer. All right, so let's hop into your trip, because that's why everybody's here, want to hear about it. So when did you go down and who'd you travel with and all that good stuff? And then we'll jump into the stories.
Well, you asked me about me. The interesting thing about it, my brother-in-law, so we're married to sisters, and my brother-in-law is just as nuts about Disney as I am. And we were, it was, you know, months ago, I think, when I first reached out to you. I think, when did we book? Was it January?
I can't even tell you what year it is at this point. Like,
yeah, I can't even.
Everything is so confusing over the last like 15 months. I do not know.
Well, I saw that they were offering a discount on certain types of rooms, and I reached out to my brother-in-law, and he said, "Oh, why don't you check and see if Animal Kingdom, and we could get a Savannah view, because that's a bucket list for both of us." And I really wanted to. I typically book myself, but I really wanted to, you know, to be honest, to book through you and give you a little piece of business, because I felt like that was important to do.
I appreciate that.
And so you worked with us to get us a 2-bedroom Savannah view. It was a little bit pricey, but totally worth it. And we just went this past Thursday and left Sunday. And that would have been the 15th through the 19th, I believe. And so it was myself and my wife and my brother-in-law and his wife. And so we shared the 2-bedroom. It was more than enough room. We actually thought one morning that it's almost too big for just 4 people. So it was their first time staying in a DVC. My wife and I had stayed in Boardwalk before. And this was a really interesting experience, Mike, because I told you in January, right in the middle of when my father passed, I had just submitted an offer on a resale purchase of my first DVC at Saratoga, and I got it. And so this trip kind of literally happened right as my points were put into my account, which made it even cooler.
Yeah.
So anyway, we made that decision to go there. My wife is a huge animal person, and so we brought our really amazing binoculars, and we were ready to go and experience Animal Kingdom in the Savannah.
So let me ask you what the feel was like at Animal Kingdom Lodge, because as some people know, maybe not everybody knows, right now you have two parts. Well, you always have two major sections of Animal Kingdom Lodge. You have Jumbo House, which is where kind of the general public tends to stay. There are a couple of DVC units at the Jumbo, but you have Kidani Village, which is the second part of Animal Kingdom Lodge that was built for DVC. And you guys were staying in that section because currently that is the only part of Animal Kingdom Lodge that is accepting reservations. So how did it feel? Because I think a lot of people might have that question, you know, because the resort's not fully open. What'd you guys think in this special time that we're in?
Well, a great point. I did not say that. We stayed in Kidani. We were actually 7238, so we were the second floor. And I actually did a room request, and I think the room that we got might have been even better. So we were kind of in the curve off from the little main lobby area. I would describe Kidani compared to Jumbo House as being cozy and a little more quaint.
It is.
I liked it. You know, it's a really small lobby check-in area. We got our flight, got us in early. We were there by 12:30. Our room was not ready. I did not expect it to be. And I think that's one of the things that I saw some people a little upset that they got there early and their rooms weren't ready. And I think we just have to have an expectation that you might not be getting in your room early. And we had Epcot tickets. So we went in and had them hold our bags. We got everything else set. I'd already pre-set up on the app to, get my room identified and everything. And so it was actually, Mike, fairly busy. We were probably third in line to check our bags. And I would say the whole time, it wasn't like summer crowded before, but there were definitely people there. We went to the pool Saturday, and they were actually, you would have to put your phone number in because they were full.
Right. I've heard that.
At the pool. So it was, there was a lot going on. And so I enjoyed it. We all enjoyed the Kidani. It is kind of quiet, especially in the mornings. We got up every morning before sunset and kind of waited to watch the people come out and start putting the little food things out for right. the animals. And that's, I think, what made Kidani is just really, since I've not stayed at Jumbo, I'm not sure if it's the same, but it's very serene. And, I have been to Africa, South Africa, and I've been on a real safari in Kruger before. And it was somewhat similar feeling to being on the savannah there.
Wow, that is a huge compliment to Disney if you've actually, been to the real thing. That's good to hear.
Well, yeah. they don't overdo it to where it wasn't made where it looked like an amusement park. There it was pretty controlled too. There's no fences, anything where I was at, and other than there being afraid of being eaten by something because anything could show up in a camp. That at least you feel protected there. But I thought they did an amazing job. I was really impressed.
Yeah, Kidani, at least you could go hide under your covers in your two bedroom suit. Close the door. Just close the door. Slide that door shut. Let's go. No. And also, ironically enough, Diana is tuned in here. She is at Kidani Village right now. She's at the pool at Kidani Village saying there's three people in the pool right now. So how crazy is that? We're recording live and we have a listener right now swimming at Kidani. So how about that for news you can use immediately? That's cool. Amazing. Have a good time. And remember, no diving. All right. So let's talk about some of your times in the theme parks. You guys had those tickets to Epcot immediately, kind of headed over there once you got settled. But you're exactly right about Kidani, though. It's quaint compared to Jumbo House. Jumbo House, I would consider it grand. There's a lot of activity. Usually not quite as much over Kidani, but they're both amazing. I mean, you cannot go wrong with either place to say. All right, let's talk theme parks. So give us some memories from that.
Well, we kind of push it on theme parks. So the minute we land, we're ready to go. That's usually my brother-in-law, Steve, and I, we do it. Our wives tag along with us. I'm going to learn one day, Mike, to spread the time out. I've got to do it. But so we hit Epcot fast. We took the buses to Epcot, and the bus was right there, right on time from Animal Kingdom, which is one of the things you hear about transportation. You're far away. That was not an issue for us. So we hit Epcot. We immediately did what we always do. First thing we do is Soarin'. And then we went in to grab a bite of food, and I did the brisket, the sliders. As a lunch, that was really, really good. Highly recommend. And then we just kind of, we danced around the park to our dinner reservation, which was kind of late. It's 6:50 at Chefs de France. And we got a great table so we could do a lot of people watching. And believe me, there was a lot of great people watching. I don't know what it is about with the masks and everything, but it's just the things that people, what they choose to wear is awesome. It's just fun to watch. It's really cool.
Well, I mean, for one time in our whole life, right, we get to put a billboard right on our grill. I mean, like you can advertise anything you want and everybody's going to see it, especially when you're 6'3 like me. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm for rent right here, right on the nose to the mouth, exactly, for a week. You're exactly right. That's a great point.
It's funny. I mean, that was a blast. And we were right there on the side of Chefs de France looking into the courtyard area. So we had a perfect view. And the dinner was great. It was definitely not at this time, that on this trip, it was not our favorite of the dinners that we had on this trip. So, but we were a little bit tired. We got up really early to catch a flight and go. So we were going to do the Skyliner and just cruise, but the vote was to head back and enjoy our room and maybe get a little dessert in the room. And that's what we did. So we did, you know, Frozen, did a couple of other little things, did a lot of browsing and walking, Spaceship Earth on Thursday. And then, you know, with our dinner, we then called it quits and enjoyed our evening in our room and on the porch looking out over the Savannah.
Oh man, that's a great day one. And I will say, just to throw in a tip, and this is exactly what you guys did, I think Epcot works well for your arrival day, for the fact that, you know, if you don't know exactly what time you're going to get to the park, you're going to miss rope drop. World Showcase gives you the opportunity to kind of get settled into vacation mode. You can stroll around, you can get a drink or a snack, or, you know, or just sit on a bench with a Coke Zero like I do. And like you say, watch people, listen to the background loops and, you know, just window shop, whatever it is. But there's no stress to World Showcase because you're not trying to get X amount of attractions done. And then, like you said, you could supplement it with the table service dinner, get some attractions like Soarin', Frozen. And that's a great way to ease into vacation. I like that a whole lot.
I will say, I had a note here and I just saw it. Just to kind of prepare people, if you're circling, you know, if you circle around the park, go right to left, and you're trying to go back as you go to Spaceship Earth and where they're building Guardians, they're doing some crazy blocking of how you can walk around to get through there. It was quite a bit of moving. And I believe since we went on Thursday of last week, they've changed it again.
Yeah, you just follow the herd. And you know what? Because I haven't been down since December. Of course, I will be there as this shows out. I am at Walt Disney World, knock on wood. I'm recording this one a little bit early so I could go on vacation. But you're right. I mean, Epcot now, you just follow the signs. I don't think I'm going the right way, but I trust that I'll eventually pop out where I'm supposed to. It is really bizarre in Future World right now.
So we wrapped up Thursday night early because Friday was going to be studios. And my brother-in-law and I were both really stressed, and we had been practicing and reading and listening to try to score boarding groups for Rise of the Resistance.
It's so wrong. It's so I understand that Disney has to do this. I understand. But I'm telling you, they are shaving weeks off people's lives so that you can get on. Yep. So you have the opportunity to get on Rise. And I'll be honest, this trip I'm on right now, we couldn't even get a Hollywood Studios theme park reservation. And part of me is just like, okay, so I'm not going through this. I've been on it, so it's okay. But I'm just like, I wanted to do it, but then I'm like, I can't get in the park. Well, I don't have to worry about that stress at 7 a.m. So walk us through your studios day. How did it all pan out for you?
Well, we got my brother. We timed it. We had the coffee brewing at about 6:15.
Love it.
And we got up. The ladies were asleep, so they were aware of what we were doing, but could to be honest, could have cared less. But Steve and I were up and we had a plan. I had ran through two practice. I practiced twice at home. I got up. Well, I get up 6:15, 6:30. My wife's works at a school, so she's already gone to work. And so I tried to do a couple of practice runs and it didn't work because I wasn't in the park or at Disney, of course. But we had our plan, and that was that I was not going to worry about selecting everybody in the party. Steve was going to do that. We used my laptop to set up the atomic clock. We realized it was 2 seconds off by the clock. So this is how nuts this all is.
This is it. And we hear this every Monday now. It's crazy that we do all this. We are insane.
So I did what I have read and some of the videos that I've watched at 2 seconds before I hit join, it took me right to the next screen. It did somehow miraculously for me. It did not for my brother-in-law. We decided to both try, so we broke the rules. We did not use Wi-Fi. We were on our own cell service, and everyone was selected. I hit join, and I got boarding group 26.
And then you almost have a heart attack because you got a group, right? I mean, it's like you can't win either way. You get one, you're shocked. You're like, oh, no, I can't move. I'm not going to touch my phone.
That causes the other stress. Well, that my brother-in-law didn't. So his didn't show anyone selected. And by the time he was getting everything selected, I said, we're done. We got a boarding group. And he's like, well, then we had to get everyone up because we had to get to the park. We had no idea. And it went really fast, Mike.
Yeah.
We decided to rope drop, get there early and do Slinky Dog. And by the time we got off of Slinky Dog, our boarding group at 26 was being called.
Wow. That is fast. That's remarkably fast for that attraction.
Yeah. So we walked. I mean, luckily that entrance was open. So we went straight to Rise of the Resistance, and we were really lucky. We got in line and went all the way through and never even stopped. I can tell you that the rest of the day, it was wind outside and down, almost going into the other part of Studios. The line was so long.
Yeah, the last couple times I've been on it, you know, it's almost all the way out to the entrance of Galaxy's Edge by Tap House or Baseline. Yeah.
So we had a great day at the studios. We got to do everything that we wanted to. We kind of tried to time it up. We decided to do Smuggler's Run later, and we wanted to do Slinky Dog again as late in the evening as we could before our dinner reservation at the Brown Derby. Mm-hmm. I've got it right here. I made this.
So nice.
So I had an appointment with at Savvy's workshop to build a lightsaber. So that was awesome.
And you got it before the price increase, by the way, because it just went up by $20.
That's what I heard. Yeah. So, you know, that was the best day ever. I had breakfast at, I had my favorite at Woody's lunchbox. I had the tater tots with the sausage gravy, which I'm usually not a fan of, but I love it. It's really kind of got a little bit of spice to it. But we were able to do everything, which is really stunning. At Studios, we did everything from Rock and Roller Coaster to Smugglers. We did Toy Story Mania. We did Mickey's Runaway Mine Train. We didn't hit any issues with any rides or anything. And that just gave us our whole day ride up to Brown Derby. And we had a wonderful dinner there. It's my wife's favorite restaurant. And so we usually include that or our ultimate favorite, which is Ohana, which is not open.
Right.
But it was busy. What was kind of interesting, though, was as the day went on, when we did Smugglers, Rise of the Resistance was nuts. The line, I don't know what was going on, but late afternoon, Star Wars Land was packed.
Yep.
I mean, you couldn't even get into some of the things like the that Den of Antiquities and stuff was lined up. The Droid Depot appeared to be probably double the line waiting to get in there with reservations as Savvy's. And I had a reservation. I still waited about 30 minutes.
That was worth it. You got a lightsaber.
Oh, it was worth it. Yeah.
It's a real, I mean, perfect purple lightsaber right now. That is,
the challenge with it, and I can imagine for parents with kids, is keeping hold of that thing in the park and then taking it home.
Yes, I mean, totally. Totally.
Just think about that. Think about, you've got to get that home. And it's, if you're flying, you need a flight attendant that's willing to not steal it from you.
It's the greatest thing about flying home from Orlando, right? I mean, every flight I get on at this point now has a couple lightsabers come on. And I'm thinking, what, like when I was 12, like if I'd have known I'd be sitting on an airplane with people boarding the plane with lightsabers, like it would have blown my mind. And it still kind of does. I mean, I'm 47. I'm like, people are getting on this plane with lightsabers.
So, I'm Southern, so I get long winded. I apologize. So Saturday, we had a great meal, went back, enjoyed our room again, had an adult beverage, and, went to, Saturday was Animal Kingdom. We decided to rope drop it. We got there early to hit Pandora. We went right into standing in line. The minute we got into the line, which looked long, it took off as Flight of Passage opened, and we just moved right through it, got on it. It was fantastic. Then we went straight across the park and tried to hit the safari early. And we had a great safari. Our driver was fantastic. He got into telling us all the different names. My favorite group, the Flamingos, the Flamboyants,
right.
The name of a group of, that was just awesome. But we had a great safari ride. And we just had a great day at Animal Kingdom. We actually wrapped up early. We got to ride everything. We took the train there out to the conservation, was it conservation station?
I think so, yeah. Rafiki's Planet Watch little area, yeah.
Yeah, and we got into a really wonderful conversation with the lady that was taking care of the goats and the pigs. And my wife, again, is a huge animal fanatic, so we were petting goats and rubbing the pigs' bellies, and several of them had just had surgery, and so we got some really wonderful little stories of, and got introduced to all the different characters there, so that was kind of fun and special. And we tried to wrap that early so we could go take a little nap, enjoy the resort, and we headed to Disney Springs. We took a lift to Wine Bar George, which was fantastic. Highly recommend it. We had the skirt steak, which you two people can share, and it was really, really good. And we just had a great evening there. I will say Disney Springs, both Saturday and Sunday, were packed.
Yep, that's what I'm worried about. We're staying across the street. Yeah.
I've been there Christmas Eve, and it kind of felt like that. I mean, it, as you were going up, like where Wine Bar George and their Hangar Bar and Boathouse, and you look up, it was a sea of people, Mike, right, going all the way up that hill. But anyway, we did that. And, you know, I told you that on Sunday we were going to cap it off with homecoming. And we ended up, the vote was, not everyone was as interested as me to go to homecoming for brunch. So we canceled it. Oh. And then we regretted it because then we decided to go to Disney Springs. And so we did a walk up and we got into Terrafina, which I've been to several times with business related dinners, and it was another great meal. And what we wanted to do, because I had bought Saratoga sight unseen and not seen the new rooms, my wife had no idea what it looked like. And so we went over there and we toured the brand new Saratoga refurbished rooms, Riviera and Copper Creek,
nice,
model homes. We were blown away by the Saratoga. It actually, thankfully, was all of our favorites. Riviera came in a close second. I love the Riviera rooms, but there was just something nice and inviting and kind of homey about the color scheme of the new Saratoga rooms. And so we, you know, it was great for my wife to say, you did a good job picking this one. So
better than the opposite. Like, what did you do?
Yeah. So then we went back and we went to co-op, and we were there, I think on Friday, they had just put in the pop-up cruise, Disney Cruise Line store in the co-op, and it was selling out so fast. They were trying to stock it as we were in there looking. But that was kind of our fast trip. But I think for us, you know, next time we go as adults, we are definitely going to do more of resort time and not as much part time. I do have a grandson now, so we're trying to time it so that when he turns 5, which would be 2023, to get him down there with my mother. That's one of the reasons I bought in the DVC, is to be able to get larger space and bring my mother and my grandson. And you know, that's kind of my next dream thing. But to kind of, I think that the challenge always is you go down there, you want to go to the park. And I always do. But I really am going to try to make an effort to really enjoy the resorts more next time.
Yeah, you know, I've kind of turned the corner on that, I would say, in the last 2 to 3 years, where I don't have to be in the parks as much. And in these times we're in right now, we have, of course, I mean, this was 2 months ago. We had limited park hours. Now they're expanding out to almost what they normally are for the summer, it's looking like, moving forward. But what I've learned is, as much as I enjoy the theme parks, that, you know, when I get to, say, hour 6 or hour 8 or hour 10 in a theme park, because we tend to go in the summer when my wife's off work and she's a teacher, it's hot and I'm tired. And, you know, some of my best vacation memories are at the pool or, you know, going over and playing Winter Summerland or just strolling around Disney Springs or having a meal at Olivia's, you know, on the patio. Yeah. So, you know, I think we all get there. But I mean, the theme parks are really the essence of why we go down. But I think that's great because you can vacation different ways.
Yeah, it is. And well, we one of the things we went and looked at all the pools. We went the pool at Kidani is really cool. It's a big pool, but it doesn't take a lot of people to be in it to kind of fill it up. It's kind of got an infinity, a walk in. It was really cool. But we cool thing of going over to Saratoga, we got to see the main pool and then the pools around the different little sections, like, you know, the paddock and carriage house and things like that. And we actually really like those pools. Our favorite, whose is it not, is Stormalong Bay. Whenever we've been to a beach club, it's still our favorite pool. But you know, the pools can lure you to spend a day and just enjoy that and some of the great food around it. You know, like being able to get a burger at Hurricane, is it Hurricane Hannah's?
Yes, it right? is. Yeah. I was just talking about that with Mallory because we're going to be at Yacht Club this summer.
Where are you going to be? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah, because of Stormalong Bay, because, you know, it's just one of those things that I just want to be able to relax. After this past year, we didn't go on vacation last summer. You know, I want to be at Walt Disney World, but I don't want to be going nonstop. So we are going to stay a few nights at Yacht Club specifically. So we can, you know, walk into Epcot if we have that Epcot theme park reservation, or just hang out at the pool. You know, that's really what I want. So we'll see. I get to, it's hard for me not to get, I say that now, right? I'm a few months out and then I'll get there. I'm like, what am I missing? I get that, you know, all the time. But when I go, I regret it. I'm like, why didn't I just stay at the pool? I was having a good time. I could just be.
Well, that's, playing. I mean, staying there though, that you can do a day there, whether it's like cruising around that little river and like I said, that Hurricane Hannah's is, every time I've eaten there, it's just, I don't know why, it's just a great burger. Maybe it's just in my head. I do love going in. I don't know that you can still do this, but last time I stayed there, I would go in and do the early morning and run over to France and get a croissant over at the little bakery.
Yeah, right. Then, I know. Now you have to have a theme park reservation to do that. So yeah, it's that kind of stuff is, you know, I understand why Disney's doing what they're doing at this point, but that's the stuff you miss. And I was talking with somebody the other day on Twitter, and he was mentioning that, you know, he would stay at Yachter Beach and he tended to walk through the International Gateway out the front of Epcot and hop the monorail to go over to the Magic to GTC to switch to the Magic Kingdom. But that's a lot of work. I mean, that's not the most efficient way to get to the Magic Kingdom. You can just hop a bus, but you can't really do that because you'd be using a theme park reservation to go through Epcot. So, yeah it is. But it sounds like you had a great year. I want to ask you one thing, though. So,
yes.
Now, did you mention what your favorite restaurant was? You said Chefs de France was like second. Was it Brown Derby that your wife likes?
I would say, well, for me, it was definitely Wine Bar George.
Okay.
And then I would actually go Wine Bar George, Brown Derby, and then Chefs de France, which surprises me a little bit. For my wife and everyone else, it was definitely Brown Derby number one. They loved the chopped salad, and they got it with lobster, and they were raving about how good that was. Our Wine Bar George experience was a little mixed. My wife and I shared the skirt steak. My brother and sister-in-law shared the sea bass. And they thought it was actually so mild that it wasn't as tasty as some of the typical sea basses they've gotten. Huh. So it was kind of a mixed result. And we felt like Chefs de France, we got the fillets, was really good, but not... It just wasn't as special as we remember it the last time we were there.
Right. Right. Well, it's always interesting because I've been to Chefs de France a couple times, both times on the 4th of July, ironically enough. Yeah. Why do I eat at a French restaurant on Independence Day? I don't know. Just go there for Bastille Day or something. But, you know, I've never been to Wine Bar George and still have never been to Brown Derby. Let me ask you one last question. I keep saying that, but because I do.
No,
got to wrap this. But, okay, so here's the thing. I've never been to Brown Derby because, A, it's a signature restaurant. So, it's you know, it's kind of an investment for us, a family of four. And, like, there's no hook for me in Brown Derby. You know, like, 50s primetime, you got the whole 50s thing. I love that stuff. Sci-fi, you got the movie theater, you had to drive in. Is it strictly the food, or is there any kind of atmosphere that you guys enjoy at Brown Derby? What is it that makes that place pretty special?
You know, it's a couple of, I apologize, my little one, working from home with two dogs, you never know.
I know, I hear you. Go ahead.
So, I apologize. It's twofold. I think what's really interesting about it, there's a certain nostalgic feel to the Hollywood Brown Derby, the way the architecture is done, the staff inside. I love the table setups. It's kind of like a sunken area. Mm-hmm. And then we set around up above it in a half round. And it's got all the portrait of movie stars and I guess comedians and things from the golden age of Hollywood are all over the walls. And so it's got kind of a really interesting experience. My wife and my sister-in-law, their mother is from, as a child, she grew up in California. And I think for them, it feels old school California and Hollywood to them.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what I would enjoy. It's never gone. I've always been curious about it and always said, I'm going to go there like my next trip, but then something always supersedes it, right? You know, Homecoming opened. I wanted to try that, or Morimoto's opened at Disney Springs. Instead, we went there, you know, and it's just, I'll get there. You know, well, I've said that for a decade.
I'm with you. Every time, you know, if I had my choice, I would have been really happy going to the Sci-Fi Drive-In and because I'm with you. I love 50s primetime. I love sci-fi. I love kind of I love to throw in kind of a really thematic experience. It's one of the reasons we always try to get Ohana as our first night dinner.
Good call.
When we go. And of course that's not available. And I feel like it sets the tone for a great Disney trip. There's just something there. It's the Polynesian, and it's very well themed, and I love it. So I think Brown Derby, it's not quite as themey, and like you said, it is a signature. And the Cobb salad, the chop salad, not Cobb salad, chop salad is their thing. It's the thing that brings a lot of people there if you're interested.
Everybody talks about the grapefruit cake, which I don't know if I'd want that, but I'd be willing to give it a shot.
we shared some of that and something else. I can't remember I'm a diabetic, so the desserts are off the table for me, sadly. But others partaked in that and they enjoyed it. That's real popular. We saw it all around us.
I'm sure you did. That's all I hear about. So, hey, Gino, I appreciate you taking the time to record the show. It's sure been a lot of fun, and I'm sure everybody's enjoyed hopping around the parks and a little Animal Kingdom Lodge from Disney Springs today. So thank you so much for taking the time. I sure appreciate you letting me book that trip for you. It means a lot, and hope to catch you down at Walt Disney World sometime where we're both there at the same time. That'd be great.
Would love it. And I really appreciate the work you did for us. And it was an amazing trip.
All righty. Well, don't forget, this show, as every show, is brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. We sure like to help you with your next trip to Walt Disney World. We can do Disneyland now. Finally, we've been waiting. Yay. Welcome back, West Coast. Adventures by Disney. And we're still booking Disney cruises. And I promise you, those ships, they're still floating. They're out there. And we're going to get on them soon, which is even better. So just drop by themagicforless.com. We'll take great care of you. Themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It's a free way to support the show. And a huge thank you to our patrons. You're allowing us to put out four shows a week, plus our Sunday night, You, Me, and Scotty G show. We have a good time opening the phone lines and talking Disney with you. That's every Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. But thank you to the patrons for allowing us to do what we do here on the show. If you'd like more information, visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast. Give us a follow on social media, Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike and at Be Our Guest Pod. And of course, I'm at Walt Disney World right now. So now's the best time ever to follow me on Instagram because it's constant pictures and videos and stuff. And don't forget Facebook and YouTube. You can check out all the great videos that go along with these podcasts there as well. Just search for the Be Our Guest Podcast. All right, that's going to put a wraps on today's show. We'll be back again on Wednesday with more of your listener questions. But for Gino down in South Carolina, I'm Mike here in Missouri. You guys have a great Monday. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.